Hallo und herzlich willkommen zum Media Lab Innovation Podcast. Ich bin euer Host Christian, ich bin Innovation Editor im Media Lab Bayern und in dieser Folge möchte ich über Data-Driven Newsrooms sprechen. Auch abseits von dem ganzen Daten sind das neue Öl-Diskurs, ist es ja ein Thema, das man immer wieder hört, wenn es um moderne Newsrooms geht. Man hört immer Daten und Data-Driven und andere Schlagworte, die in diese Richtung führen. Und um mal zu klären, was das eigentlich genau bedeutet und warum sich Newsrooms überhaupt damit beschäftigen sollten, habe ich heute einen echten Experten dabei. Samuel Profumo war eigentlich zuerst bei Le Figaro, dieser französischen Zeitung, im Marketing und ist dann aber zum Chief Data Officer geworden und hat Daten auch in die Redaktion gebracht. Heute macht er das wieder, aber für den belgischen öffentlich-rechtlichen Rundfunk RTBF. Er wird mir jetzt ein bisschen erzählen, wie er das gemacht hat, wie er die Journalistinnen und Journalisten überzeugt hat und welche Erfolge er damit feiern konnte. Samuel, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you.
Hi, nice to meet you, and I'm very happy to be with you guys talking about data in the newsroom, which is actually a passion of mine.
We're really glad you're here to talk to us about this. And you are the first guest we have on this podcast now. So let me maybe start by asking you about your last two employers where you worked with data, which was Le Figaro and which is now RTBF, the Belgian public service broadcaster. When you've been working with data in these companies, what positive results did you see there when you started using more data?
Well, great question. Thank you. I work for Le Figaro, which is a newspaper in France for many years. And we started a data initiative with the executive committee in 2014. I led a multidisciplinary team of 30 people around data at Le Figaro for like 4 years. And now I'm working, as you mentioned, in a quite another context, because we're talking about broadcaster in Belgium, and the data initiative is now 2 years mature. What I think is very interesting when you come to use data in the newsroom is that, well, there is different topic that you can challenge and automate and maybe work differently. And I think the main area where you can see results is with acquisition, with sourcing of your information, also with production, because you can use data to better produce, reproduce, revamp. So all along the way with production, you have great things that you can do. And also, and I think it's there that I see from my window the most interesting results is with distribution and administration of your own platform and also a social platform that you want to distribute your content to. First, I used to work with data in with advertising. I think advertising was more mature. A lot of, I think, newsroom and didn't see the value in data. So it's a long way to convince people that maybe if we can use some data, because their opinion is great, but opinion with data is even better. And so what I see as a great result, for instance, is that when you have all your live data on what you produce, how people are reading your content, watching at your videos, and you go deep into details, it's really a new way for everyone in the newsroom to understand, to know, can we produce more? Can we produce more on this specific topic? Because it's doing great at the moment this morning. All the audience is, and the article is not that long. Maybe we can go more in depth. It's very, very valuable because you can make different editorial choices and also get a better performance for all your content and make sure that, and I think it's very important because there's always the what's in it for me when you talk to data with different people in your organization. And I think when it comes to newsroom, it's the most important thing to understand is that at the end of the day, your paper, your work will match a greater audience, a broader audience, because you use data correctly.
Can you maybe give me a specific example for just one case where you noticed the success of this approach?
Yes, well, what is interesting is recirculation. It's the way people are, your audience is moving from one page to the other and they stuck to your content. Another one would be engage time, the time that they go through your piece of content. For instance, when you are able to see that an article is not recirculating enough, you can provide with different links. You can add some other point of view and go to another opinion, for instance, or another video that you have on the topic. And then watching that recirculation make you smarter with the way you editorialize your paper. And so I think it's great because then you have advertising revenue thanks to this recirculation. And you also have an audience that is more satisfied with all what you provide to them. What is very interesting also is that we see that on one specific page where you have a great traffic audience, it was like maybe this page is 10% of the overall traffic. We have like a black corner, black pixels. So the recirculation was very, very low because you can watch at the scroll, for instance. So you see that all your audience come here, they don't scroll. So you're working on the part that is basically unseen. And on top, you have places where you don't have any links. So you're smarter with that and you take better decisions. And then you stick the audience on your website with this kind of little strategy.
Thank you for that answer. That is already very, very enlightening. I would like to go a bit into how you started to get all these measures in place in the companies you've worked in. And let me maybe start by asking something that you already mentioned yourself. You came out of the marketing department first. How did the journalists react when you came to them with data from the ad team and told them, hey, this is data you could maybe use as well? How was their first reaction to that?
I would not say that the reaction is firstly very interested in the data, but what I saw is that when you come with figures such as, look, this is a great paper where we have the audience with the highest income, for instance, which is specific advertising material. I would say that people writing in the newsroom are happy that their paper is written by influential people. And this great information make them think differently and say, okay, they scroll to this place, so they are high income. Why wasn't they interested more in the paper? And so what they do is, okay, give me more data. And that's the way you create a relation with that. Typically, data journalism paper are very interesting because you can click, you know, if you want to make it fun. What happens is that if it's fun and you use it, you stay longer. And if you stay longer, well, it's a great experience. And when you show that to people doing data journalism, they say, okay, let's do more of this. And so it's new way of covering the news. It's very modern and people are enthusiastic with that.
So you'd say playing to the journalists' own fun at work and to play to their curiosity that they want more data after you kind of fed them with a little bit and then they got curious by themselves?
Yes, more and more. And I think what is very interesting is that when they understand what's in it for them, they want the data real time. They open your analytics tool in the morning and they quit in the evening. Some of them never quit, actually. Sometimes you have to detox them.
Did you see differences there in the journalists at Le Figaro and at RTBF? Or is that something you say that is independent from which media format you choose and it's just a journalist thing that they're all curious and no matter if they do radio or TV or newspapers after, this is a way you can get them to be interested in data?
Well, I think it's quite different in newspaper because in the first place, newspaper is just text, so it's quite easy to copy. So from 2005, I would say that challenge on the digital market for newspaper was really great. And so I think they understood sooner that it was very important for them to, if they want to monetize in the first place, to get some data. And then if they want to sell subscriptions. Because I think, and more of the media and newspaper media will have to make their audience pay. And for that, you need more data and you want to make sure which article is converting, for instance. So it was a great success at Le Figaro when we can say, because we have this question, what is the article that we should leave open or the article that we should close? Should we make a paywall, a meter, etc.? And what happened is that when you provide information on saying, okay, people, subscribers are reading this piece of paper at the moment, maybe you should close it for lookalike subscribers and people who want to subscribe to this information. And maybe if you have an article that is closed and not even your subscribers are reading it, you have to understand that maybe it could be open and you can use it in another strategy, maybe on social network or whatever. And so I think for I would say, media, and I am pretty sure when you consider the advertising field, I'm pretty sure that it will be harder and harder to monetize the content and that many, many, many models will turn to subscriptions. In the 5 years to come, it will be dramatically important. And so data for that is really, really important. And also a real way to understand what you should produce and how your audience is, I would say, engaged with your content and which type of content. So important. And for, I would say, for RTBF, for broadcaster, it's harder. The competition, I would say, is different because we have the chance to have radio, to have television, and producing for television and radio is quite complex. So this great, and we have a chance to be a public service media. And so we are working quite differently on that, taking advantage of the great content that we have. And also the opportunity to provide it freely to our audience.
So two very different situations, but in both situations, data can be very useful. I would like to go back a little bit because myself, I come from more of the journalist's perspective. So I'm really curious about that. And you already mentioned it a little bit, how the journalists started to embrace data a little bit. If you talk to them today, like a few years after you started using more data, and you talk to them about this approach, what do they tell you? Are they still very happy with it? Do they think it needs changing, or do they want to go back to the old ways without data maybe?
No one wants to go back without data because it's like when you have seen the light, you know, you don't want to go back to darkness. But I think maybe it's important and we'll see different aspects of the metrics, because when you have a lot of metrics, you need to understand what they mean and maybe you need not to follow them blindly by just saying, okay, nice is the light, there is this metric, I know how to make it move, but maybe it's not correct. And ethically, we are using and developing an algorithm that take that into account. And what is very important is that the distribution of your content is more and more algorithmic. It's the case with, obviously, the social platform are all about algorithm, and we need to develop our own algorithm. The difficulty we had is that when you say, let's put an algorithm and it will do the editorial on the website, people don't understand and they say, okay, if they want to replace us with artificial intelligence, and they don't buy it. But when you put data, first you say, okay, what happened? You put data to say, why did it happen? Then you put data to say, what is going to happen? Then you have prescriptive rules that can say, okay, maybe you should do that if you want this to happen. And then you have your algorithm. And what is very interesting with the newsroom is that there is this great discussion around the algorithm and which KPI we should optimize. But, and there is a but, it took time, of course, because you need to go through the metrics. And then it's an interesting discussion around ethics. Maybe it's a game, maybe it's Sudoku. So we are going to provide people with a Sudoku piece because they say, they click, they're engaged. So your engaged time is higher, but is it really your strategy? Is it really what you want to do in the first place? And the discussion with journalists at the moment is this, is, okay, we have data, I think it's great. There's all the time when they discover the tool and understand more their audience, what they're doing, what they're producing. But at some point, you have to ask yourself, am I really looking at the right KPI? And do we agree with newsroom? And do we agree with advertising? And do we agree with our audience? Because it's also the trust contract you have with them when you don't want to manipulate them and the data in the wrong way. So I'd say there's a quite interesting discussion, but no one wants to go back, I'm pretty sure.
So you moved from the discussion of if or we should use data or not to the discussion of how we should use data, which is really, really great. I would like to talk about now to what advice you would have to other newsrooms that are maybe not as far along in working with data as you are, especially like you personally, but also the newsrooms you're working in, that want to recreate that want to get to that point too. What would be good first steps, if you could maybe elaborate on that again, to start bringing data into a newsroom or to make data more important in a newsroom without losing both the trust of your employees, of your journalists, but also without losing the trust of your audience, of course?
Well, I think what is important in the first place, I mean, the first step is gathering the data that you have to look at what happened yesterday and what happened last week, etc. And make sure that you gather this data, that you agree on that with all stakeholders, and that it's something that you look at every week, at least. Then this discussion will say, okay, we don't have enough data. We have this question. And then you say, okay, let's gather the data that can help us explain what happened. Then you will go in another step, I think, is try to predict now. Because if you know what happened yesterday, maybe you can anticipate on what's going to happen tomorrow regarding new subscribers, regarding your overall audience, regarding a specific audience on a movie or on a sport competition. And then you do that and you see and you look where you are. Can you predict that? And try to understand if you're still on page. But all this way to the free first step, you have to share the data, make everyone comfortable with it, look at it regularly, and make sure that it is shared within the organization. That you need a tool, you need to share it through the organization. And then there is a great, great step, and I think it's the most important, is to go live, to make sure that it's not what happened yesterday, it's what is happening now on my website. And when you're there, that you have your KPI, you shared it, people agree on what we were looking at. We agree on the figures and saying, okay, this looks like correct data, and so everyone is okay with that. Then you go to live, and then you can add many, many, many different features and agree on specific algorithm, specific way of promoting your content on social media, etc., etc. But I would say the first step is really don't go to artificial intelligence, don't go to algorithm and things like that if you don't have the data. And I think a lot of company missed this opportunity and this important reality. But if you want to do intelligence artificial algorithm, things like that, never forget the data, clean it, share it, and make sure that everyone has access to it, understand it, and that you are building the data culture with all your stakeholders in the right manner, step by step.
So a step by step approach to data, that's really interesting. I would like to ask something about what you said now with make everyone understand the data. Is that an issue of having journalists in your newsroom and then teaching them to be data experts or more data savvy? Or is it a matter of bringing data experts into your newsroom to help your journalists?
I think it's important that, and it's the case at Le Figaro and also at RTBF, to have a team of dedicated data collector, data stewards, data analysts, and to put them at the service of the newsroom. And all actually newsroom, but also it could be like acquisition, it could be human resources, why not, or marketing. But every time you need to have a sponsor in the newsroom or a sponsor in the field you want to work with data. So I would recommend a great sponsor, which would be like editor-in-chief or to make it really visible in the newsroom. And then you need to dedicate some journalists first, I would say 3, 4, 5, depending on the size of your newsroom, that would be experts and collaborating closely and on a daily basis or on a weekly basis with data steward experts and data analyst experts. And I would say that you have your sponsor in your newsroom, you have journalists that are into data and they speak with the data team specialized, and then you can go further and maybe share the data in the newsroom, have those people be data champion of your newsroom, go and explain to other journalists, and then I'm pretty sure that at some point each and every one of them will be interested in understanding what happened with the audience on the platforms.
That's really great to hear, because it really shows that also it doesn't matter how big your newsroom or your company is. You can start with a small data team and like a sponsor in the leadership, and then maybe one or two people in your newsroom that are interested in working with data anyway. And then you can start building from there with this step-by-step model you described, which I think is a really motivating thing for all newsrooms, because you don't really need to be a giant newsroom with a gigantic budget to start working with data. But I would once again like to go, because you said it in the beginning yourself, you're very passionate about data, and that's really great to hear. But I do know that there's a lot of people that are not as passionate about data and that are skeptical about it. And I would like to give you the chance to say to these people, why do you think their worries are not reasonable? Is that when we talk about a newsroom that is data driven, being driven, of course, is not necessarily a good thing. Would you say that RTBF, where you're working now, is driven by data?
No, I would not say that. I mean, it's a very common expression to be data driven, but maybe there is a false impression here. And that's what is important, in my opinion, is that you use the data, but you remain the boss. I mean, journalists, they're the boss, and that's why the sponsor needs to be a journalist or an editor-in-chief. And that is why you can't have a data team explaining to others what they should do, and we see that in the data, so you should do that. No. I think what is important is you have a problem in the newsroom, a question, something you could optimize with data. So let's ask the question to the data team, and let's make sure that the data team answer this question and only this question. And then your sponsor will take this information, maybe ask for more, but still decide. I would compare it to Waze. They don't drive. You're data driven when you're using a solution like Waze for driving in the city, but you're still the driver, and it's just something that it helps you taking your decision, but still you're the driver. And I think that's really where you need to focus your attention when it comes to data project in your newsroom and the whole company, I would say. Make sure that people understand that you are doing Waze, and yet you're not doing autonomous car.
I'm sorry, I need to ask a very stupid question. Could you just quickly explain what Waze is? Because I don't think I know it.
Waze is like a GPS. It's like Google Maps. It's a technology that we use a lot here in Brussels, because there's so much traffic that everyone in Brussels is using Waze. Or maybe not everyone. I don't have the data, so but a lot of people are using Waze. And it's just a technology as Google Maps. It's GPS technology. And when you're driving your car, even if you're using a technology or GPS, you're still driving. But with the GPS, you can avoid traffic, so you're better at what you do. You take shorter time to go to work. And you're happier at the end of the day. So that's what we want to do with the data in the newsroom, is not to say, okay, we're going to replace anyone. It's more in what you are doing on a daily basis. how can the data help you? And data can help you when you have a question and you say, for instance, do I have a matter, a paywall? If it is a matter, how many articles should I authorize? Well, all these questions could be addressed by data, but you need in the first place to have a special relationship with your sponsor that will say, okay, this problem, maybe I need more data to figure out how to do it. And then I think you have this first step, what happened here, as I said, what happened yesterday, and then add the data that you need. And I'm pretty sure that at some point you just answer the question and you have, well, we have great relation with a journalist in the newsroom at the moment.
You just said that no one is being replaced by the data, because I was actually going to ask about that, because that is like the second big sorrow that comes up when we talk about bringing more data to the newsroom. Hey, isn't that going to replace us as journalists? Isn't our job going to be done by data, pretty much? What do you say to people that are afraid of losing their jobs because of data?
Depends. I think some jobs may change more than others. I don't think that people will lose their job, because it's important when you come to a newsroom to have the more content that you can get. So for many, many, many use cases are just optimizing things that you're doing to do more and to be happier at the end of the day. Not to say we're going to replace with machine. We heard about robot journalists, for instance, but it's not really working. And maybe you can do it. And if you use it, I'm pretty sure you will use it to produce more, for instance, around sport competition, automate things that you're not doing today. And it's very different than replacing anyone, I think. It's so complex now that you need more people than you need in the past. So at the end of the day, I can't see where it would be true.
And you haven't experienced it at all in all your time of working with data in media companies?
No, at the moment, no.
That's great to hear. Thank you. You said it so beautifully before. People that started working with data have seen the light. Could you maybe tell us what are the three main things you'd say that contain this light? Like, what is that light? The three main things that you think makes it great to work with data in the newsroom?
First, you see the light when you understand the life cycle of your content. A lot of journalists have no clue about this life cycle, when it starts and where the audience come from and how long they stay on the page and on the content. When you show this to your newsroom, it immediately raises a question such as, why is it so short? Why is the life cycle of my paper is so short? And with this great question, you can provide answer and say, yes, but you know, your article maybe is living only when you're on the home page. Okay, I could stay longer on the home page? And you have this great discussion with journalists that say, okay, let's make it a process of trying to optimize life cycle of all our paper, because it's very, very, and I'm pretty sure every journalist would agree, it's very sad to work on a paper that nobody see or that just leave for 30 minutes on your website. So I think it's the first thing that raised a great question is, how can I have my content living longer? And then you have the discussion around the homepage. You also have the discussion around cross-linking in articles. So journalists understand that when they take a paper from a journalist, this journalist will take a paper also. And so it's cross-linking. And so you can develop your audience with cross-linking. And there is also, why don't we sponsor it? But then maybe you want to buy some ads. Maybe you want to use your Facebook page. You want, and this is this great discussion saying, okay, but which one should be where? But the main target is not a vanity metric. It's let's make all our content live longer and make sure that we don't miss opportunities for paper. That would be, for instance, 8 a.m. in the morning. You come at 4, the article is not in the page, maybe it's greatly in your interest. So let's make sure that at 4, we show it to you and that you have the opportunity to see it. And I would say it's the first thing, and it's the major, major game changer for newsroom and data.
Thank you. I feel more enlightened already, and I hope our listeners feel the same. Just for now, for my final question, and we touched on this like a few times during this, but I would just ask you again to just maybe in three sentences, what are your three main tips for newsrooms that want to be either start being more data-driven or that are data-driven already that want to be better at working with data?
I think if you're new to data, as I mentioned, it's important that you gather the data, you talk about it, you share the data in the company, and you agree on what you're looking at and make sure that everyone is understanding what you're doing with this data. Then if you're more mature and that this is already done in your company, I think it's time to open the discussion around algorithm, artificial intelligence, ethic also. Make sure that the metrics you're working with don't have BS, and that in the long run, maybe you're not following with this data and KPI the strategy that would be interesting in the long run. And I would say that then you have this great discussion around algorithm, artificial intelligence, because you're more mature. And this discussion needs to be based on the data you have in the first place, and to optimize things that you're monitoring and make sure that these algorithms don't have bias and that you have an ethic with your algorithm. But yes, first thing first, gather the data, and then you can have great discussion around algorithm and artificial intelligence.
All right. So again, go in steps and don't rush it, but be slow and sensible about data.
Yeah. Don't rush it.
Okay. That was such great insights. Samuel, thank you so much for being on the podcast with me today. It's a pleasure listening to you. And yeah, I hope you stay as successful with data as you are today.
Thank you very much, Christian. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Ja, das war Samuel Profumo und das war diese Folge des Media Lab Innovation Podcasts. Ihr findet diesen Podcast überall, wo man Podcasts ebenso findet, also bei Spotify, Apple, Deezer und so weiter. Und da findet ihr dann alle Folgen, nicht nur zum Thema Data-Driven Newsroom, sondern auch zu den anderen Innovationsthemen, mit denen wir uns so beschäftigen. Und natürlich kommen da auch alle neuen Folgen an, die wir in Zukunft so aufnehmen. Weitere Infos zu uns oder zu allen möglichen Themenfeldern der Medieninnovation findet ihr auch auf www.media-lab.de. Da ist sicher auch für euch was dabei. Ich wünsche auf jeden Fall viel Spaß und bleibt innovativ.